Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Phoenix Business Radio X studio inside Mac 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we build businesses and connect you to the right people. I'm your host and Business Radio Ambassador, Kendra Maples. Today on the show, we have two awesome individuals. We have Brian Burwell, that is the franchise owner of a new donut place here in town in Chandler called Donuttery. It's new to here, but it came from New York. So we've also got Evan Feldman in the room. He's the CEO and founder of Donuttery. So I'm very excited to have you both here. And it's not just because you brought donuts, and I tried them, and I love them, and that was probably my lunch today, but I'm okay with that. Yeah. But I'm really excited to have you guys here. This is a really cool opportunity to have both of you, especially with you coming all the way from New York to actually talk about this company,
too. Yeah, well, thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Absolutely. So yeah. I want to kind of start just with a simple introduction from each of you. Tell us a little bit about you and the company, and then we'll really dive into how it came to be, right? So, Brian, why don't you start, actually?
Sure. Again, Brian Burwell. I am from New York, so we moved with my family to the Phoenix area in 2004. And for the last 25 to 30 years, I've been in corporate America, mostly in financial services. So this new venture for me is exciting and also frightening at the same time. But we have a great partnership with Evan and his team at the Donuttery. So I'm excited to talk more about that.
Yeah, my name's Evan Feldman. I'm the founder and CEO of Donuttery. We started this, and like Brian, I have a background in financial services as well. So this is sort of a second coming for me. I started Donuttery about 8 years ago, and it was just an idea at the time. And we've grown it, to what it is today, and we're still growing. And we're here in Arizona, opening our first franchise with Brian and his team. We're super excited about that, and we're here to talk about that and how we got our start as well. Similar to Brian, I was in finance, and through a random, series of events, ended up in the donut business. And it's been a sweet ride, so they say, for the last 8 years. But it's been great, and we're really excited to be here.
Awesome. So I'm going to start with the obvious question. How do you go from a finance background and a business background to donuts? How does that even start?
Well, first of all, they're both dealing with dough, just different kinds of dough.
Feel like there's going to be a lot of puns.
We've got a bunch of donut puns. We'll try to keep those to a minimum. But I always wanted to own my own business. When I graduated from school and went into business or went into the corporate world, I just never felt fully fulfilled. And I was always doing something on the side. In college, I started a small business that I ran for a couple of summers. And then when I got out of school, I played around with that idea. But, at the end of the day, you have to go to work and make some money. And that's what I did. And after about 12 years of that, I found myself not really loving what I was doing and wanting more in terms of being my own boss. And I grew up in an entrepreneurial family somewhat. And so I always sort of had those ideas in my head that I would one day be my own boss. And in 2008, and I was working in finance in New York City in 2008, when the economy did what it did, I had an opportunity, I call it an opportunity, to leave my current position or my position at the time. And I took the opportunity and was able to leave and go explore other things. I was also in the middle of having my first child. So I ended up taking a year off and being somewhat of a stay-at-home dad and really enjoyed that time with my first son. And really gave me an opportunity to take stock of what was important to me and what I wanted to do and what kind of role model I wanted to be for my son. So with that in mind, instead of applying for jobs, I started to look at businesses and decided you know, wasn't sure what kind of business at the time. My wife's family was in the bakery business, so I spent a little time in the bakery during holidays, and it was a real family business, so everyone would kind of come back and pitch in for the holidays, especially this time of year. We would take weekends and all come together, and whether it was just simply boxing pies in a truck or waiting on customers or weighing pounds of cookies, I really enjoyed interacting with the customers. I enjoyed coming up with business ideas for them to market and try to grow their business, but it was their business, but it wasn't my business. So mm-hmm. Thought about joining them, but the idea of maybe one day working with my in-laws wasn't that appealing. So I ended up coming up with Donuttery. I saw an opportunity in the market for, I already knew the baked goods and the sweets side of the business from just my family's involvement. I had a pretty good business background just from my days in finance, 12 years so I understood spreadsheets, I understood numbers, I had appreciation for the bottom line, which, a lot of people go into business, you know, if they're in the food business, especially, you know, they might be a chef who opens a restaurant and that sometimes doesn't work because the business side gets in the way, or it's a business person who doesn't really understand the food side and that gets in the way. So mm-hmm. I felt I had a good mix of skills. So, we took a shot. We had an opportunity to go into the Chelsea market, and it was a very quick. They said, you know, if you want to get in here, you've got 30 days to kind of come in and strut your stuff. And we opened a pop up there, and it was successful. And about 3-4 months later, they asked if we wanted to stay. So we did, and now we've got right now 4 locations, 3 permanent and 1 pop up in New York City. We've got partnership with a license with a candy shop down in Myrtle Beach, and now we have our first official franchise online, up and running, making donuts in Arizona. And we've got 2 other signed franchises that will be opening in the beginning of 2020. So we're
awesome.
Very excited.
Yeah. And are those Arizona too?
No, they're in different parts of the country. One is in Northern Virginia, and one is in Milwaukee. So, we're expanding nationally, and it's really exciting.
That's got to be really exciting.
But I know Brian is eyeing. You know, he's just starting his first store now, but I know he's got his eyes on the future and opening additional shops here in the local area. So we're excited to continue with the journey with him.
So I never asked you this, but how did you come up with the name Donuttery?
We had a long list of names, different donut names. We had some whimsical ones. We had some serious ones. We had Evan's Donuts. Nothing really spoke to me. And, you know, we wanted something iconic. And Donuttery, it sounds, kind of like a patisserie. You know what they sell. They sell pastry. And so we wanted something that it was clear what we sold, mm-hmm. and we wanted something that was kind of a universal name that people just, they like it, they like the name. We did a lot of surveys, and people found, that one to be the most entertaining. It's kind of whimsical, but it's also, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
it's
Donuttery. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, we're the Donuttery. Yeah.
So I've had the chance to talk with Brian about how he was interested in starting this franchise, but do you want to share with our listeners how this went from New York all the way over here to Arizona?
Sure. So I'm also in the financial services business, although unlike Evan, I'm on the operations side, so I'm not a numbers guy, more of a workflow guy. So over the years, I would look at different franchises to see what would be interesting. And I always did a lot of research, but I always kind of backed away. A few years back, we went to New York because we're from there and our family is there on one of our visits. And we stumbled upon the Chelsea Market location. So we walked to different booths to see what we want to sample. And I always watch my wife and daughter very closely because they're very picky. They're actually like dessert snobs, right? They won't just eat anything. So I see them, going up to the Donuttery booth, and they're kind of watching the donuteer, which is what they're called, donuteers, making the donuts. And they're watching for a few minutes, and then finally they step forward and they buy a couple of bags of donuts, and we walk away, and they were just raving about them. So a few days later, we were at a different location in the city. I think it was by the plaza, And we stumbled upon another donutery, and they wanted to buy more. And so for me, that was an aha moment, because usually on any city visit, we don't eat in the same place twice, right? So knowing that they wanted to eat at the same place again, I was like, well, this is really interesting to me. And I saw a little sign that said, franchising available. But that was several years ago, and I think it took a few years to actually get that up and running. But what I loved about it is the product is fantastic, and I know you've sampled it.
They're so good.
They're so good. And my wife and daughter confirmed that they're good, and they're the ultimate judges. But also, it was a simple business model, understood the workflow right away. So that was made it exciting for me. And then talking to Evan, being the first franchise, it was not, I'm coming from a corporate environment, which can be both challenging and exhilarating, right? Mm-hmm. But with Evan, I knew we wouldn't, if we wanted to suggest something or make a change, we wouldn't have to go through 10 different iterations of it or 5 different departments to make that happen. So I think that was exciting to me too, being at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it had that startup feel to it.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the process of you being able to start up that franchise, but I want to take a moment for you guys to explain the donuts, because when our listeners hear that your wife and your daughter bought bags of donuts, that sounds like quite a bit, but they're mini donuts and they're mini fantastic donuts.
Yeah. We only sell mini donuts. Yeah. Some people are surprised to hear that. And when we get phone calls and someone's not in the shop, we always preface it by saying, you understand they're mini, because, mm-hmm. We want to make sure they order enough. but we do mini donuts, and we do them hot and fresh at each location. That's another key thing that we do, unlike some other donut shops. So we're not just making a bunch of donuts the night before and bringing them in and selling them until they're gone. We're making them to order, and we're making them all day. So they're hot, they're fresh, and they're uniquely sugared. So we have 25 sugar blends, give or take. We're always coming up with new ones. And we've got some seasonal ones that come out periodically. But we have a core group of about 24 flavors. We have a couple glazes and some sprinkles, but we keep it pretty. On one hand, it's basic because it's all just sugared donuts. On the other hand, they're pretty complex, interesting flavors. So we have some unique flavor combinations. We've got one called Paris Thyme, which is a lavender, vanilla, pistachio sugar. We've got one called Urban Monkey, which is coffee, coconut, banana. But we also have some basic, just cinnamon sugar and powdered sugar. So we sort of run the gamut from very classic to very interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to they are mini. We feel that made us a little unique in the donut space. And being from New York City, there's a lot of opportunities to do catering, and there's a lot of events and parties and openings, and people in this day and age also want to just taste something. They don't want, a huge, donut or cupcake or pastry that they have to chop up into small pieces. So we saw that as an opportunity. We wanted to give people, the opportunity to just sample one. What ends up happening is they sample one, then they have a few more, and before you know it, they may have eaten,
15 later.
Yeah, but, and that's fine. We, mini donuts, mini calories. It's really, it's a light and delicate product, but it's not a heavy, greasy donut. So we've seen people come up. We do small bags, so we'll do a bag of 6, and you can get a couple flavors in the bag. You get 6, they walk away, they walk around the mall, they come back, they get another 6, they come back, they get a dozen. And so we always laugh and say, we told you should have got the box of 25 right off the bat.
If you space it out, though, it doesn't seem
right.
Like you're eating as
many. And we do it in a little handheld bag, so you can walk around with them. We do have dipping sauces as well, because since they are just sugared donuts, we want to have... they're not filled because they're mini. It's kind of hard to fill a mini donut. So we have some side sauces, about 5 right now, that you can buy with the donut to dip the donut in. So it makes it fun. So with the sauces, you have an added level of, flavor combinations, and the combinations are endless. But we also do seasonal beverages. So, what donut's not complete with a good cup of coffee or cold brew and iced tea and lemonade and of course, apple cider. This time of year, apple cider is very big on the East Coast, and people like the apple cider, hot and cold.
Yeah.
So the mini came out of just really an idea to give people something fun. And we package them in, we call them donut boxes, but in reality, they're pizza boxes.
Mm-hmm. They're like mini pizza boxes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you show up to a party with a pizza box and they look at you kind of funny for a second, like you brought a pizza, and then you open it up and you see that it's filled with 100 mini donuts, they, you know, their eyes kind of widen and everyone smiles. So it's a lot of fun to show up someplace with a box of mini donuts.
Yeah, but you're definitely fitting a niche with, like you said, you've got the traditional kind of sugared flavors, and then you've got the original flavors. Brian, what was the one that I tasted that you said had bacon pieces in it?
Oh, that was a Purple Pig.
Oh, so good. So
yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, that had bacon, maple
and purple potato. Yeah. So
I never would have thought.
Yeah.
So how do you come up with these different flavors and these different recipes?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, when we first got started, I'm not a chef. Like I said, I'm a finance guy. But I grew up around food, and my brother, who actually joined us a few years ago, is a culinary graduate, my brother Jason, and I was lucky enough to have him help come on board. Now, we just come up with flavor ideas. I've got a list in my phone of different ideas when I get inspiration. If I'm traveling or I'm at a market or I see some seasonality, I'll jot it down. And, you know, we come up with fun, unique flavors that maybe they're conversation pieces, or maybe they just work really well together. And you know, we'll try it out in the kitchen, and you know, it's tweak it, and eventually maybe make it to the menu. You know,
I love it. So, what's your favorite flavor?
I like two. I mean, I really like the Paris Thyme because just the lavender. It's unique and it's floral, mm-hmm. and vanilla and pistachio. It's really a nice flavor combination. But I also just like the traditional vanilla glaze, because I think that's just, you know, something about it reminds me of like my childhood. I don't know exactly what, but we get that a lot because we're frying donuts. We get a lot of people who come in and say, oh, you know, it smells like my grandmother's kitchen here. You know, if she used to fry, you know, this dessert. And, you know, or because we're at the Chelsea Market and the Plaza Hotel, we get a lot of international tourists. And, you know, every culture has their version of a donut. It may not be called a donut. It's, you know, some kind of fried dough. And so it's just this product really, I found, resonates with every culture and every kind of person, young and old. And the mini aspect just is fun. It's just fun to eat that way.
Yeah. Brian, do you have a favorite already since you've been involved?
I do, and I've tasted them all. But it's almost like asking who's your favorite child, right? Because they're all great.
You have 25 children.
That's right. But I would say the lemon pop is really mm-hmm. good, which is lemon, vanilla, and poppy seed. Mm-hmm. Oh. That's kind of addicting. And then also cinnamon sugar. The classic is really good.
The traditional?
Mm. The traditional, because it's the hot fresh that really makes it. So when these are popping off a fryer, going into the sugar, and you're eating them directly, it's pretty special.
Yeah, there's something about the coming out, like Brian said, coming out of the fryer, you know, the sugar, it gets coated in sugar, but the sugar kind of crystallizes or melts a little bit, and there's a little bit texture there, and it's just a nice mouthfeel and sensory experience, because, you know, you're seeing them being made, maybe you're smelling them first, and you're not sure where that's coming from, and they eventually, you know, like, you know, bees to a hive, they come to the kiosk, and then they see it, and their eyes kind of light up, and they say, I've got to try that, and then they try it, and, you know, sometimes they're boosting their kids up to see the fryer, because we're actually making the donuts in a mini donut fryer, so it's depositing the dough into the hot oil, and we use vegetable shortening, so it's you know, it's not animal fat, but we, you know, and then the donuts flip, and then they flip out of the fryer into a little bin, and then they sit there and wait for someone to claim them.
And I think that's what surprised me the most. I knew that people would love the donuts, but the show of the donuts. So when we were training at the Plaza, you know, I was a rookie, so I was trying to get the feel of it. And just people were coming up and they're filming me making the donuts, and the kids, you know, faces are pressed against the window. I'm like, this is a lot of pressure. And then, you know, as we opened in the Chandler Fashion Center, we find the same thing. People just are intrigued to watch the process. And it's just something exciting about watching your donut come down the line and then you're going to get to eat that. It's pretty special.
But what a cool part of this process and this business that you, Brian, probably, like you said, you wouldn't have expected. Yes, the donut is cool, but now there's a whole experience surrounding that as well. So I want to go back to, you said how you had to go out to New York to be able to train, to be able to learn how to make the donuts. How has that whole process been with, from starting and saying, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to be the first franchise, and then all of these parts of learning how to make the donuts, finding the location in Arizona, how has that process, can you take us through that a little bit?
It's been a wild ride. It's definitely been a roller coaster because we were kind of on an accelerated time frame. So it was definitely a team effort. So we're trying to build a family business for myself as well. So my daughter-in-law, Jen, and her husband, Brett, really like pitched in to make this happen. We wouldn't have been able to do that without them. And it was a whirlwind because we got the location and we wanted to be open by Black Friday. Yeah. We only had a couple of months to do it, which is kind of a short time frame in this business. But it was a wild ride because we were trying to get through all the construction and things like that, and then go do the training and hire the store manager the same week we were doing the training. So it was a lot of fun, but definitely a learning process. And we have a whole list of like lessons learned for the next location just because of the speed of it.
Yeah, which is, well, and then on top of getting the normal checks and balances done with physical location and signs and that sort of thing, I had the opportunity to talk to you and Jen before about making sure that you are building the right culture in this as well. Is that something, what does the culture look like in New York with the employees that you have? And you've already said you've got these kids that are looking in and they're watching. Obviously, they're watching everything that's happening. How does that look that you've built?
You know, I think, you know, regardless of what you're selling, be it food or dessert or savory food or even not food, candles or, you know, customer service is utmost importance. Especially what we're doing, it's, you know, the entertainment component. It's we're entertaining, you know, it's the donuts are entertaining and everyone's focused on watching the donuts. But, you know, like Brian said, there's a lot of pressure on the person making the donuts. So we need the right kind of person who, you know, is there to have a little bit of personality and inject their personality into the process. And I love interviewing bartenders or people who have, you know, worked in sort of high pressure environments where, you know, they are serving customers, but also, you know, entertaining. So we have a staff of about 35 people. Most of those people work in the stores. But we are also very much a family company. And it's something I really resonated with Brian about is he's, you know, very much a family guy. And, you know, this is his first time doing this, and it's ours as well. We're, you know, we've been operating for 8 years, but this is our first true franchise. Mm-hmm. And, so there is a learning curve on his part and also on our part. And we were very open about that with each other from the beginning. And I think, you know, they have tremendous patience with us and we have tremendous patience with them and we're all sort of in this together and mm-hmm. I'm building a very much a family business. My brother works with me, as I mentioned. My wife has joined me. She's an occupational therapist who had a full-time job up until last year. I pulled her into what we're doing. So nice. She's enjoying the change. And I very much appreciate having someone I can really trust. So we start at the top with family, and we have in our organization a bunch of people who have brought their family in. So I have one girl who's been with us for 4 years. Her two sisters now work with us. We just hired her other sister for the Christmas market that we're doing. And I have another group of siblings, two brothers, and they just brought their sister in as well to interview with us. So we have six siblings basically working with us. And I like that. I like mm-hmm. that because they have each other's backs. They mm-hmm. have the company's backs because they've been with us for a while. And, you know, in this what I call retailtainment, it's very much an entertaining, we're selling product, but we're entertaining people. And so we want people with good personalities. We want people who are outgoing. We want people who aren't afraid when the 50 or 100 eyeballs are on them that they can perform.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not here, you know, singing songs and dancing, but we are doing donuts as entertaining as possible.
Absolutely. Brian, when it came to actually hiring folks, mm-hmm. you know, you're listening to Evan talk about building that family business, but at the same time, not all of your family members can work in the donutery. A lot of the kiddos are young. So as far as hiring folks, was that hard to be able to hire individuals and not even have anything to show them how the real culture was? Or how was that process?
Yeah, it was a little tricky because you're selling the concept of it.
Yeah.
You know, we showed them an empty kiosk and said, something's going to happen here in a couple of months. But, you know, we looked for people who had PhDs. They had passion, they were hungry, and they were driven because we thought we can train everything else. But we did want people who were just passionate about the client and guest experience. We looked at our core values before we started to make sure that we considered that when we made our hires. And, you know, one of our values is to be able to spark the light.
I love that.
We want to do that through the taste of the donut, but also through that experience as well. And we kind of told our donateurs that people are coming up to the window and seeing this for the first time. You've done this 1,000 times, so it might seem old hat to you. But to really think about that person who's seeing it for the first time and really give them that energy and that smile as you're making it, because it's exciting for them.
Yeah, it can get, you know, at times it's a job, right? Mm-hmm. And so it can get, you know, a little monotonous if you're making donuts for 6 hours. We try to rotate people around. So some, you know, they're not spending their entire shift on the donut machine, but sometimes they're at the cash register, sometimes they're making beverages, sometimes they're washing dishes, but giving them a little bit of variety, but also to try to have fun with it. And, you know, they get asked a lot of times, like Brian said, this is a first time experience for some people. They've never seen the donut machine. They've never seen these mini donuts before. So they are filled with questions. How does this work? How do I order? You know, we try to do the best we can with our menus and our signage, but at the end of the day, you know, just speaking to someone and asking a lot of questions and answering a lot of questions is the best way to get your point across. And, you know, it takes a special person to answer the same questions over and over and still make it interesting and exciting. So we try to keep people, you know, excited and energized.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's their first time. So you need to remember that it's everybody's first time, even though you've flipped 1,000 donuts in one day already. it's their first time. So making that an entertaining experience. Brian, you mentioned spark the light as one of the values. I absolutely love that, first off. And that was one of the things I had the chance to talk with you and Jen about before any of this started, before the kiosk was done and built, before you had employees in there. You had already figured out what your values were. And I absolutely love that. Instead of starting the business and then later on going, oh, well, what are our values? How do we want to really grow this? You started with the values. Do you have any other ones that you can share with us?
One other one was to be creative. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're always problem solving, looking to improve the process, taking things good to great, whether that's me as an owner or a donateur on their first shift. We want people to question, well, why do you do this? And sometimes we'll say, well, we're not sure why, because Evan told us to do it that way, but Evan's not always right.
I was trained to do it this way in New York.
So we definitely want people to have creativity, think a little bit, you know, outside the box, make suggestions. Not that we'll be able to do everything that's suggested, but we want to keep asking, you know, why do we do things and how could we do it better? We also, you know, talked a lot about teamwork and family. So even though if people are not in our, you know, direct family, as a donateur, you're now part of the donutery family. And it's important that we have each other's backs and we look out for each other, which is kind of the success you had with the siblings as well. And also, we want to think a lot about employee development, whether it's your first job and you're only going to be here for 6 months or whether you're going to make a career at the donutery as we grow. We want to make sure that all of our employees are developing themselves and taking kind of ownership of that, because whatever they learn here, there's, you know, transportable assets that they can take to their next job. And it would be a dream of mine if people said, we just love hiring people who used to work at the donutery because they're just so on it, whether it's their client focus, whether it's their passion for the team, whether it's their problem solving. These are the attributes that we want to kind of build for folks, whether they stay with us or not. So that would be a goal of ours.
Yeah, that's fantastic, though, because you're building something bigger. You know, I didn't understand Dutch Bros for the longest time. That's another one of those that's a, you know, food in that same chain, same idea. I didn't understand it. I was like, why are there so many cars in that line? That doesn't make sense. I could never wait for coffee that long. And then I did it one time and I was like, oh, I get it now. Not only is it good coffee, but they make it seem while you're sitting at the window with that person and having that conversation, like they truly care about what your day is, what's going on. It's a bigger picture. It's not just the coffee. So I love that that's what you guys are doing with Donutery. It's an experience. You're bringing people into that family atmosphere. I love that. And you mentioned employee development. How are you tackling that right now? Because you are also still working full time. You have another job.
Right. Well, we are very involved. So we work our day jobs, and then we actually go, and I've worked every night shift this week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because we want to be hands-on, especially in the beginning. I mean, we hired a great store manager, Nick Halp, who's doing phenomenal with training and those type of things. But we want to make sure that we're not hands-off. We want to be very hands-on, especially in the first year or two as we grow it, and really make sure that the culture kind of fits the vision that we thought about. So we're actually toe-to-toe, hands-on.
Yeah.
I mopped the floor last night. the person who was with me saw me mopping the floor.
So did I.
So
actually,
did you.
Just
right.
To let you know, I was in a store last night when I should have been home packing to come here. And, someone called out and there was only one person there. And I happened to be in the neighborhood. So I stopped by the store. I was going there anyway, but I stayed a little longer than I thought I'd be staying because the person who was there was alone and they needed help. And so I stayed through closing. But, when you're in, and I spend less time in the stores than I used to, unfortunately, because I gain the most when I'm in the stores as I identify things that, you know, maybe we want to try or do differently or fix, it's your business. It's still your business. So as an owner, you're going to be the most effective. I mean, you can hire great managers and great shift leaders and great employees. But at the end of the day, you still have to, kind of inspect what you expect and get your point and press the flesh a little bit, and be with the people who work for you and work with the people who work for you side by side and lead by example. So it's funny, you were mopping the floor last night, so was I. I don't expect any level of success or growth should change that. You should always be spending time in the stores and, hopefully mopping less and less floors as you go. But at the same, someone has to do it. And someone's going to do it, they're going to need to be taught how to do it right. So, one of the things that Brian said before about sort of coming up with ideas and having an entrepreneurial thing is, aspect of this is that we're trying to, one of the values that we have as a franchisor is we're trying to create entrepreneurs and we're trying to support entrepreneurs. I don't want Brian to do everything that we say to do. We set standards and we set guidelines and even certain levels that we want them to achieve, but we want them to do it. We want them to get there their own way. We want them to contribute to building our business also. So we're very much open. We're not an established chain that has 200 units that here's our book and do it by the book and do it by our book. And if you don't like that, go find another franchise to operate. We know what works because we've been doing it for 8 years. But we also are very well aware that that works in New York. And we knew coming to Arizona, certain things would work. And I mean, we hope that most things will work, but there are going to be certain things that may not work. We're not open in a mall right now. So Brian is the first mall that we've looked at a lot of malls and we are planning on opening this year in a mall or early 2020 in a mall. But Brian is in a mall. So that environment might be a little different than ours. So we want him to be an entrepreneur in the sense that this is his business and he comes with a lot of great ideas and a lot of great experience. And we want to just increase the value of what we're doing. Hopefully, he can point some things out and say, hey, let's try this. And we're happy to support that. So.
Yeah. I want to thank both of you for mopping the floors last night. The reason why I say that is because you are setting a certain level for your staff because they're seeing you. You guys are the top in those companies, right? You're the top in the location, but they're seeing you mop those floors, like you said, right beside that person that was closing. That's huge. I can say that one of my favorite leaders and my favorite mentors in my experience was one of the gentlemen I worked with when I worked in San Diego at the San Diego Zoo. And, you know, he was one of the higher levels in the operations, but he was out there with myself and then our staff setting up chairs in the pouring rain. He didn't have to, but he did. And that made a huge impact on me and the leader that I wanted to become. So I thank you guys for that because you're growing something special with the employees that you have because they're seeing you flipping donuts, right, mopping floors. So that's amazing. Now, as far as being open in a mall, this is the first time you have done this. Is there anything that you guys are seeing already in that process that you're like, oh, didn't think about that, or, you know, learning curves that you're already seeing just with the location itself?
Well, I mean, from our perspective, we knew going into a mall that there would be a lot of rules and regulations, and it's someone else's rules and regulations because it's whoever owns the mall, and they're there for a reason. They're trying to create an environment that, you know, the shopper, you know, responds to, and there's a lot of people there. There are a lot of vendors. There's a lot of stores. There's a lot of businesses all kind of co-working and interacting. So, you know, we may find it unreasonable that we can't have signage in a certain place, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure there is a very good reason for that. It may not directly benefit us, but there are the rules that might benefit us that, you know, they're preventing someone else from doing so that it doesn't infringe on our business. So, you know, that we do operate in food halls and in hotels. And so we are used to that a little bit, but going into a mall, it seems to take on a whole new level of, you know, what you can and can't do. So, mm-hmm. you know, everything needs to be approved by them from the design to the plans and everything in between. So that has been, a challenge.
Brian, you have to listen to everybody. You got to listen to Evan. You got to listen to them all.
Yeah, there's right. a lot of people telling you what to do. Yeah.
I will say the Mesa Rich Group and the Chandler Fashion Center has been great.
Absolutely.
As far as getting us up and going and really helpful. I know that you're working with a few different malls too across the country, and that'll be a challenge because I'm sure each one has their different rules.
Right.
But I could say the Chandler Group has been. Has helped us fast track.
Yeah, I mean, when I came here, seems like years ago at this point, but when we came out, when Brian was just looking at locations and we looked in our phones, I think we walked like something like 8 miles in 2 days worth of malls and shopping centers. And I was exhausted at the end of the 2 days. Brian took us to every possible location that he could identify. And some were really great and others were not as great, but mm-hmm. It was a great learning experience to really get to know the market. And, you know, and they were, you know, different landlords and each one had different mm-hmm. requirements or different timing, and everyone has different needs. And so, you know, the Mesa Rich Group has been very supportive of Brian and his team and of us coming in. And we want to put our best foot forward and make a great impression because we understand, you know, these are guys who have, you know, shopping centers all over the country. And so far it's been, you know, it's a challenge, but it's not a bad experience. It's been mm-hmm. a great experience learning. Both of us have learned a lot. And I think it just makes the second one that much easier and the third one hopefully easier. And, you know, that those things, those second and third units come with other challenges like mm-hmm. expanding and growing and managing multiple locations. And those are a whole other set of challenges, which we've done already successfully and, you know, happy to support Brian in that endeavor. But, you know, for him being a first, just opening up any unit or a food establishment, especially there's you know, Board of Health and there's yeah. fire department and there's buildings. And so there's a lot of things you have to be aware of and things you have to address. And Brian and his team have done an amazing job in a very small period of time. So I'm happily here now, and you know, I can't believe that you guys have opened and you set a goal and you achieved it. So it's been great. Congratulations to you guys.
Thank you. It's definitely a team effort, and especially with the rest of the family, Brett and Jen. But one thing too that we're finding different in the mall is the traffic patterns, because in New York City It's high density, it's high traffic, Chelsea Market, turnstiles. So that's what we'll have to figure out at the mall is, you know, there's definitely going to be that high traffic time, and then it'll drop off, and we'll just want to make sure that, you know, catering is a big part of the business. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we do a lot of business catering, weddings, parties, things like that, because people love mini donuts for those occasions.
Book your events now. It is a great aspect of, you know, and one of the things I tell all prospective franchisees, and Brian's well aware of it, is, you know, we've developed a business in New York that, yes, it's New York City, and food delivery is very popular there, but it's popular everywhere now with, you know, the different online services and Uber Eats, and, you know, I don't want to promote just one, but, you know, there's all these different ways in which you can get food delivered right to your house. You don't need to leave. And that is a great opportunity for our product, you know, because we deliver in pizza boxes, which lends itself really nicely to, you know, getting a delivery. And I know Brian is going to be expanding his delivery options, you know, shortly, because it's a great, because of the size and because of the different flavors, it's really a great product to cater an event with, because, mm-hmm. You know, you lay it out on a table and people are, first they're intrigued by the size and the colors, but, you know, they have one, they have two, they have five or six.
And then the box is gone.
You know, it's a unique item. I mean, you know, cupcakes had their day, and, you know, then mini cupcakes had their day, and, you know, donuts have been around for forever. It's a pretty historic product. I can go into the history of donuts, but I'll spare you. But it's, you know, the Ellis Island and the immigrants coming over, they were greeted by the Salvation Army with donuts. And so there's a history, an American history, but also an international history of donuts. So, you know, if you're having a party and you're looking for something unique to put on the table, mini donuts is a really great option. And Brian will be happy to make them. And
you even have celebrities coming, right, and getting boxes and flying it back to LA with them.
Yeah, we do. We've had a couple Kardashian posts, I'm happy to say. It's
nice.
Yeah, always interesting. In New York, especially at Chelsea Market or at the Plaza Hotel, there tend to be celebrities walking around, and upstairs at the Chelsea Market is the Food Network, so you always get some celebrity chef walking by. And at the Plaza, it seems that's the Kardashians' hotel of choice, and and Donutery is their donut of choice, because they have tweeted and Instagrammed about us on more than one occasion. I'm happy to say it was not a paid sponsored ad. It was just organic, and it was a lot of fun for our friends. It was actually more fun to get phone calls from people you never thought, you know, maybe followed a Kardashian and say, hey, did you know Kim posted about you? And I said, how do you know? Because I follow her. Oh, okay, that's great to hear. But it's been fun.
So now we need to figure out who in Arizona. We need the Cardinals to get over there. And
we do.
Who else we can get over there to Chandler. What led you to Chandler to choose that area and that location after all of the miles of walking that you guys did when Evan was here that time?
It was a combination of things. It was definitely on our top two or three. So eventually we want to open at least six locations. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at Chandler, Mesa, Gilbert, Phoenix, Scottsdale. And when we looked at the Chandler location, not only did the demographic of the mall and the traffic of the mall, but also they had an opportunity. There was a kiosk that we could take over pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Which kind of led to the speed, which led to all the fire drills. But it was definitely on our list to do it eventually, but just became such a great opportunity to do the first one.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's a beautiful center, too. I mean, it really, and Brian's right there in kind of center court outside the food hall. So when you're done getting your lunch or your dinner, and you can come have some mini donuts for dessert,
that's
and
perfect.
It's a short walk from the food court.
That's perfect.
And we've seen some good growth there. Apple Store's in there, Microsoft Store. They've also just opened the Crayola Experience, which was a significant investment for that company. So that kind of reiterated to us that this is kind of a growing center versus, you know, declining.
Yeah. And that's bringing families. And, you know, like I said, the appeal of the product is not just for kids. I mean, they love watching the donuts being made, and they like their rainbow sprinkle donuts. But, you know, adults love it. And, you know, coffee drinkers.
Yeah.
You got to have something in the other hand. So why not a bag of mini donuts?
It's where I'm going this weekend. I'm going to take the kiddo. We're going to do the Crayola experience, but we're doing donuts. So she knows that we're doing both. It's a package experience this weekend. Yeah, I'm excited. So as you grow from this point, so you already have established that you want to build some other locations. What are some things that you're already looking forward to in building that location? Maybe a lesson that you've already learned that you want to tweak a little bit, or something new that you're going to try at this location. But what are some things that you're already looking forward to in the next location out here? Is that a hard question?
So lessons learned for the first go around, like we worried about the big things. And then at the end, it was all the little things that were kind of almost, delaying us. So we want to make sure that we give ourselves a little bit more time and have that good attention to detail, because the little things become the big things right at the end. As far as locations, we'll kind of see how the traffic patterns in the mall kind of grow. And I think a decision that we really haven't talked about yet, but, you know, do we do another mall or do we look at maybe a location like a food hall? Now, food halls aren't as big in Phoenix as they are in New York. But, you know, looking at a non-mall location might be an opportunity too.
Yeah, I mean, in my last visit, I mentioned we saw a lot of different types of spaces, and there were these beautiful outdoor shopping plazas that have great, you know, like fountains, and they set up, you know, installations for art and movie night. And you know, those are all these, you know, and the way the shopping centers seem to be going is with family amusement and entertainment and providing experiential opportunities. And what Donuttery does is provide somewhat of an experience. So we fit right in with that experiential. I mean, yes, we're a food, but we're an experiential food. So, you know, we fit right into everything from malls to theme parks. I love the college market, and there's a great college campus environment here. And so going and finding a location that might serve just, you know, the university population, it'd be great. I mean, it's a great study break snack. It's a great, you know, game day. You know, we can do yellow and red sprinkled donuts or glazed donuts.
Ooh.
And, you know, cater your next party. But you know, so we're not limited to just malls or, you know, food halls. And so if a standalone inline store, it just has to be the right, you know, location is everything. It has to be the right demographic. And we cater all demographics. It just needs, you know, we like to have that built-in foot traffic and the synergies with, because we are just, we're a dessert. So it goes well around other, you know, food options.
You had mentioned before that one of the locations you have in New York is a pop-up. How does that work? Is that something that you guys could do out here as well?
Yeah, we do holiday pop-ups in the city in Manhattan. There's a couple of companies that will put up, you know, they'll take a space like a park space or a public space or a square somewhere, and that's typically just being used as a public, you know, park or something. And they'll put in, maybe they'll put up an ice rink for the winter, and then next to it they'll do a little winter village. So right now we're at one. We sometimes will do up to three or four in a season. We decided to pare it back this year just for various reasons. We also wanted to devote our full attention to the franchise side of the business. But we're in Bryant Park, which is right on 42nd Street between 6th and 7th Avenue. It's really in the center of New York City. And Bryant Park puts up a big, beautiful winter village with an ice rink right in the middle. And there's a couple hundred vendors there. So
how fun.
We set up there for 2 months, and we'll be there through New Year's. And we set up in a little tiny booth, and we bring our donut machine, and we set up shelving and put a sink in, and we build out the space, and we put some lighting in. You know, it's the staff loves it because it gets, you know, gets them out of the store and into a fun environment. It can get a little cold. We have some heaters, but when they work, they're fine. But you know, there are other challenges. You're now dealing with the weather.
Yeah.
You're dealing with the public in a different way because they're, you know, it's holiday shoppers. Mm-hmm. They're outside. There's just all these crazy factors. And you know, we were last winter, there was a big snowstorm. We were closed for 2 days because the falling branches in the park. And so, you know, there are all these little surprises. So you have to kind of roll with it and be patient. But they're tremendously rewarding, both financially. It's a successful endeavor for us, but it's even more rewarding from a marketing and sort of PR standpoint, because we pop up in a place that people weren't expecting to see us. Mm-hmm. And it gives a bunch of people who may not necessarily be in the traffic patterns of your other stores an opportunity to try the product. Our other stores get busier because of it, because mm-hmm. we get to market those stores and say, hey, if you liked it, try us out. We're at the Chelsea Market, or we're at the Plaza Hotel. And they say, oh, okay, I didn't know you were, and so it's just good PR.
Absolutely. It takes the donuts to where the people are. And then they realize afterwards, well, where else are these donuts?
Yeah, sure. So, we could do something like that here. I mean, if that opportunity exists out here, and Brian wants to take that on as another responsibility, mm-hmm. we certainly give him our support. And we've been doing it for a number of years. We started that the first year that we opened. We started doing those markets, and I just saw some other vendors that I knew and respected at the Chelsea Market, who one of these guys did crepes, and I saw that he did these markets, and I was just sort of following him, thinking, well, he's got a successful business. What else is he up to? And I followed him into the markets, and turned out, it was a good move.
That's awesome. And Brian, if we did it out here, we wouldn't have to worry about closing for snow.
That's right.
We'd be okay.
We don't have that problem.
No, but when I was here a few months ago, it was about 115 degrees. So
that.
That's true. We'll put misters on the pop-up out here.
But listen, we sell cold beverages too, so we don't discriminate on the weather. It's a product that works in both warm and cold weather.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. So we have a few minutes before we wrap up. See, I told you it would go fast.
It did.
I told you it'd go by super fast. So before we wrap up, what does a day in the life of Evan look like? We know that you end the day by mopping sometimes.
You start by mopping.
Don't tell my wife.
Right?
Don't tell my wife. One of the reasons I wanted to own my own business is because I think I'm allergic to monotony, and the routine of getting up and doing the same thing every day or going to the same place. It works for a lot of people. It just didn't really work for me. But my day, it varies, and it's very random. And lots of times things come up throughout the day, whether it's something didn't get delivered, or a vendor delivered the wrong thing, or so and so didn't show up for work, and so there's different, troubleshooting throughout the day. So, I get up and I will try to, I'll either work in front of the computer with my phone and computer, or I'll work in the stores. So it depends on, what's needed. And so I'm typically bouncing around from store to store. I try to see the stores as often as possible. But now with the franchising side of the business, I can't do that every day. So mm-hmm. A few days a week, I'm going to the stores and making my rounds, maybe for half a day. And then the other half of the day, I'll sit at a table at one of my stores. Our stores are very small. They're all really small kiosks. So I don't have an office at any one of these stores. So I'm typically sitting outside in front of the kiosk, which is good because they see me, I see them, yeah. I get to keep an eye on things, but I'm usually on my laptop and, multitasking, with balancing between franchise stuff and store stuff, corporate store stuff. So sometimes we'll have staff meetings, sometimes we'll have, just in putting together the franchise offering, there was just a tremendous amount of paperwork and creating things that we've always done for our own stores, like say signs, for instance. If I needed a sign, we would just come up with a sign and, go to the copy place and have the sign made, or go to our designer and they would do it. But, in being able to support Brian, we have to put all that together in one place and have it available for him. And so my stores benefit now too from this stuff, because we get to use this sort of standardized material that we prepared, and we're still preparing. Believe mm-hmm. me, we're not done. We're just getting started. So I think this will elevate my business, but in bringing Brian's business to that level, it also elevates our businesses to that level. So a lot of time is spent on that stuff right now.
That's awesome, though. It's awesome to hear about the growth and the learning process, right? And it goes back to some of the words we talked about in the beginning of patience and trust and working together and growing this. Brian, what's a day in the life of Brian look like right now?
So right now it's just problem solving all day, and that's probably what entrepreneurship is, right? So Jennifer on our team, who's wearing many hats right now, chief marketing officer, operations, people. There's a recent book by Marie Forleo with the title, Everything is Figure Outable. And that's pretty much been our kind of our theme, because every day we solve one thing and then five other things kind of break behind it. And we just look at each other and say, everything is figure outable. I mean, we'll figure out a way to get by this. So that's what I'm finding is taking most of my days. But it's great because it's, to your point, it's not monotonous. There's always a challenge. And I think it just takes a lot of grit to keep going and work your way through it.
Yeah.
When these challenges come up, this has become sort of my mantra lately. I can get frustrated, or I can be set back, or I can get upset by certain things that happen. And then I try to remind myself, well, if I was not doing this, I'd be doing something probably that I really didn't like to be doing. And yeah. So, you know, that puts it to perspective for me. And I feel sometimes like a quarterback or a conductor. You know, you're really trying to just juggle all the balls and keep them in the air. I know it's very cliche, but typically that's what we're doing is just keeping things moving forward and you know, either putting out a fire or starting a fire or lighting a fire, or you know,
I've started some fires for him.
I love that.
Figuratively.
I love that. Evan, do you have any last-minute thoughts, ideas, messages for our listeners, anything like that before we wrap up?
You know, I think if you have the inkling or a little idea that, you know, life is so short and the time that we're here, make the most of it. And you know, it's one thing to say follow your dreams, follow your passions, but, you know, just another thing is, you know, just, you know, give it a shot. It doesn't have to be, you know, quit your job and jump into something full time, but, you know, give it a shot. Start a side business, do something on Amazon, do something that, you know, you're interested in doing. And, you know, if you fail, you'll learn a lot and you'll pick yourself up and you'll move on. And if you don't fail, imagine what happens then, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think just try it. Go for it.
Awesome. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how would they reach you?
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in mini donuts or anything else we've talked about today,
franchises are starting.
You know, evan@donutery.com. We're always happy to hear from people, whether you're a customer or you want to be a customer or a franchise interest. We're happy to talk about it. I can talk for another few hours here if you want, but I have.
We'll bring you back.
I have no shortage of words for the business. That's for sure.
Awesome. Brian, what about you? Do you have any other final thoughts or messages? I know that you guys have your grand opening this Sunday, but then what's happening after that that maybe folks can get excited for?
Yeah, so I think over the next couple of weeks, this grand opening party will last for the next few weeks. And so come down and try one of our mini donuts. It'll change your life. they're that good. And then we want to be able to help the community cater parties, business events, things like that in a fun way. And so we really want to be able to offer that to the community. And if you're looking to be a donateer or work for a great company, please drop us a line as well.
Awesome. So if somebody is interested in having you guys cater, or if they want to become a donateer, how do they reach you?
Yeah, I mean, they could reach us at info@donutery.com. We'll go to us and we'll disseminate the information to whoever wants to donate, you know, wherever it needs to go.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I had a blast, and especially, you know, Brian and I, we've had the chance to talk about these donuts prior to today, but Evan, it was great to have you here as well. So thank you to both of you, and good luck as you guys venture through this journey of figuring out the first franchise. So thank you.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank
you.
For everybody else listening, you've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Mac 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Business Radio X studio. Some media leans left, some leans right. We lean business, or today with some donuts. Until next time, this is Kinder Maples. Thank you for listening.